Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, the only cure for brain freeze. My name's Ed Gamble, and sitting over there in his flat is James Acaster, because we're recording this over the internet, James.
Yes, we are. I'm in my flat, and Ed is in a secret location that he will not reveal to me.
I will not reveal. It's not a secret location for anyone else, just the James. And this is the first episode of Series 4, James.
I never thought we'd make it this far, Ed. Thank you so much to everyone who's listened to us. And thank you to the Great Benito.
Yes, thank you to the Great Benito always. And when James says he didn't think we'd make it this far, he means that, because I heard James on another podcast recently say that he thought we'd only do 10 episodes.
Yes, that's what I thought we would do. At the start, I can't remember where I said that, but I definitely said it.
You said it on Brett Goldstein's brilliant podcast, Films to be Buried With, and he started a new mini-series called Films to be Buried With, the Resurrection, which he recorded an episode of. And you said you didn't realise this would be a success, you didn't think it would be, and you thought we'd only do 10 episodes.
Yep, that's what I thought. I thought we'll do 10 episodes just for ourselves, because we like talking about food and no one will listen to them, and then we'll just get on with our lives.
Yeah, and here we are, many more episodes in, taking James by surprise as much as the rest of us.
I'm shocked. I've made no secret of it over the years. I'm absolutely shocked.
Well, I know the thing is, James, I know you don't listen to it, but it's quite good, this podcast.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's not my thing. I love recording them. I wouldn't want to listen to them.
Well, it's a shame, because coming up on this series, we've got some absolutely brilliant episodes. Some from our trip to America. We've still got loads of those to play out. There's some absolute corkers to play.
I'm very excited about a lot of those.
Some like this one, which was recorded during lockdown, so it's over the internet. And then some that we managed to sneak in before lockdown. So it's a mixed bag, but not in the sense that any are lower quality than others. It's a mixed bag where every time you pluck your hand out with one in your grasp, they're all lovely.
Some of them are in a different country. Some of them, no one's even in the same room. Some of them, just traditional off menu.
Yeah, baby. But to kick off Series 4, we thought, who better than the wonderful guest, Ramesh Ranganathan. I can't believe now I slow down deliberately so you can join in at the same time.
Yes.
I should just say it, shouldn't I?
Yeah, but I was thinking about, you know, I was thinking, okay, yeah, we've got somewhere in another country, somewhere at home, somewhere that's normal off menu. So we could say, like, summer's home cooking and summer's like a takeaway.
Yeah.
And I was trying to.
Is takeaway the American one?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. And what's the normal one?
It's normal restaurant, isn't it?
Okay.
Just going to the restaurant, having a...
Oh, so we got a sit-down meal. We got a sit-down meal, home cooking, and takeaway. But this... this is...
Home cooking.
This one's home cooking. Yeah. So welcome to the first episode of Off Menu Home Cooking with Ramesh Ranganathan.
Ah, Ramesh, a fantastic comedian, I'm sure you're all aware. However, if he chooses the secret ingredient, we will kick him out of the dream restaurant for good.
We will. And the secret ingredient this week is...
Dried limes.
When you get a drink or something and they put that dried lime in, and it looks like they just put in a bit of off lime.
Yeah, not happy about that.
If Ramesh says dried limes, he is out on his ear. Hopefully he does not. What an awful way that would be to kick off Series 4.
What a bad way.
Fingers crossed. But for now, this is the off-menu menu of Ramesh Ranganathan. Welcome, Ramesh Ranganathan, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Whoa.
Welcome, Ramesh Ranganathan. We've been expecting you for some time.
Thanks for having me. Thank you very much.
You impressed by that, by the genie's appearance there?
But yeah, I guess so. I mean, if you know it's a genie, it's difficult to know what a genie could do to push it over and above what a genie would do.
Sure.
But compared to a normal person, certainly very impressive. Compared to other genies, I'll reserve judgment.
So really? So you knew a genie was going to turn up, obviously.
Mm.
So what for you would push it over the edge for a genie? What's your top genie appearance? Yeah.
Can't wait to hear this.
I don't know. I'd quite like it if they did a comedy thing where they were facing the wrong way initially.
Yeah.
And then sort of went, oh, there you are.
I'll have you know that in the genie world, that scene has been pretty hack. So
okay.
I deliberately didn't do that.
I mean, okay. And in the human world, really. You sort of want a genie to do bad dad jokes.
But there's something comfortably old-fashioned about it.
Come on. Yeah? I've seen Rob's last show, and it does start with him, with his back to the audience. Hello? Oh, no one showed up, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, guys, cancel the tour.
Imagine going to see Ramesh at the Apollo, and he starts with his back to the audience and turns around and says, I didn't see you there.
I wonder how many walkouts there'd be just fucking off the back of the first line. Just like, Jesus Christ, is this the stuff he does?
Amazing if you did that. Especially if you, like, rose up from the ground, like, on a platform.
Yeah.
And you're back to the audience. Yeah. And then, like, really big music. Yeah. And then it just all stops.
Yeah. And then became convinced that I just really needed to commit to it for it to land. It's been 10 minutes now. Can you just tell him this bit isn't going to work? Can somebody signal to him just to turn around?
Then you'd have to open the second half in exactly the same way.
Yeah.
And when you turn around, go, not again.
You guys, be honest with me. Did you move the room around? Be honest. Someone's having a laugh at old Ramesh.
Well, welcome, Ramesh, to the Dream Restaurant. You get to order your dream meal from our genie waiter here.
Thanks.
Are you a food boy?
I'm a food boy, yeah. I would say I'm a food boy. I'm not allowed to be as much of a food boy as I'd like to be at home. Because I like cooking, actually, is the truth of it. I do enjoy cooking. But Lisa, my wife, believes that the level of disruption and mess that I generate is not sufficiently paid off by the quality of the meal. So what's essentially happened is that I'm not allowed to cook at home. But I did have it. I had a bit of a... During lockdown, I had a bit of a face-off with the kids because I'm not allowed to cook. The kids haven't seen me cook that much, right? So the other day, we were having dinner, and they said, oh, you know, because Dad can't cook. And I said, I said, you what, mate? I said, what did you just say? He said, well, you know, you can't cook. You don't ever cook. I said, don't confuse me not cooking with me not being able to cook. I said, name something and I'll make it tomorrow and it'll be fucking amazing. I said, say it like that.
Yeah.
And thankfully, they named chocolate cheesecake, which I don't know how much you guys know about desserts, but that in terms of effort to payoff ratio, it's incredible. Uh-huh. It's the best dish you can make. It's an absolute piece of piss to make. And it delivers. It's very impressive. So I taught my children a lesson, and that is not to doubt their father.
Have they eaten that yet?
They ate it, and they loved it, James. Absolutely loved it. Yeah, they really loved it. I mean, I was making something I couldn't taste, so it was a bit of a gamble on that because of the veganism. But sure. They, what was that, a minute and a half I've mentioned it? Brilliant.
We were expecting it to come up, Robert. To be fair to you, I don't think we can do you on like, oh, bloody vegans always mentioning it. This is a food podcast. It probably will come up, mate. Yeah.
So I do enjoy cooking, and I also do enjoy eating nice things. I'm very much a big fan of that. Big fan of it.
Also, was there much home cooking in your house growing up?
Yes, very much so. I mean, my mum is a very good cook. And she started off, I mean, loads of Sri Lankan food, which is kind of, I guess it's not much like Indian food. I mean, it's curries and stuff, but it's a lot drier and hotter. And I had loads of really good Sri Lankan food growing up. And then my mum started to diversify into Italian was the area that she moved into which doesn't feel like the natural progression from Sri Lankan stuff, but it is the direction that she took. But she did very much put a Sri Lankan twist on it. I mean, she made, I would argue, probably the spiciest lasagna in the Northern Hemisphere. so she did. My dad was very much, I mean, my dad went on to die of a heart attack, and it's no surprise based on the stuff he was making. I mean, he used to sort of regularly deep fry boiled eggs as a snack.
Oh, I mean, it's a lot of things in my head that I don't want to say right now, but that is, he is dancing. That is a very...
It's so much effort as well when you've already boiled an egg. That's perfectly lovely, have a boiled egg, but to go like, we're gonna need to deep fry this.
I know. It's a heart disease waiting to happen, really. And nobody thinks... I don't know what it added to it. I don't know. He never really told me what the deep frying was adding to the egg.
I suppose it's a bit like a Scotch egg, really, isn't it? If you're like a Scotch egg is deep fried, but was he putting anything around the egg?
Absolutely not. He was
taking the shell off, right?
Yes, he would. They did make that concession.
He took
the shell off, and then just deep fried it and added a bit of chili powder, and then smashed it up.
So he boiled it, deshelled it.
Yeah.
Put it in a deep fryer.
Correct, yeah.
Then put some chili powder on it and egg.
Yeah. And then said, what makes you think I'm going to die prematurely? That was his old catchphrase.
He would always say that as he tucked into a deep fried boiled egg.
Yeah, as he ate the third one.
Absolutely love it. Also, Sri Lankan food, it must have been quite easy for you being a vegan for a while, because it's amazing, the like Sri Lankan vegetarian and vegan stuff, right?
Yeah, well, it was growing up, I think I went vegetarian about 12 years old.
Okay.
So I was eating a lot of, my mum made a lot of mutton curry, which was my favourite thing to eat. And then they would make a lot of fish. There's a lot of seafood. My mum and dad used to take me to, well, they had no choice. I don't think they wanted to take us, but they couldn't leave us on our own. We used to go to Billingsgate Fish Market, and my mum and dad wanted to get the best stuff to make kind of curry out of. And I remember my dad would see stuff like, you know, he'd go, I'm just going to go pick something up. And then he'd come back with like a baby shark over his shoulder that he was going to make a curry out of.
Straight into the deep fryer?
Yeah, I'd go straight into the deep fryer. A couple of eggs. Listen to me. Little baby shark, couple of deep fried boiled eggs. That's paradise.
Straight in the fryer. Just its fin poking out the top.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's weird because my brother and I both had that similar upbringing, and I've grown up absolutely loving Sri Lankan food. And my brother never used to really enjoy curry. He preferred English stuff, and he didn't really like spicy stuff. The only exception being one of the staples of Sri Lankan cuisine is shorteats, which is like little snack things, like mutton rolls, which is just a pancake breaded, you know, wrapped up in this mutton curry, kind of wrapped up in a little sausage shape, which is delicious, and vada and things like that and stuff like that. So my brother did like that kind of thing, but. So that was, I lived off Sri Lankan food for most of my childhood. And that has, that's kind of, my love for that has stayed with me.
Did you ever have sorry to come back to the deep fried boiled eggs.
No.
But I can't get them out of my head now. Did you ever sample one?
Good
no,
question.
I didn't actually. I didn't. I just sort of, I felt like, I didn't think I'd survive it, is the honest truth of it. It felt so bad for you. And at that time, that was around the time that my dad was doing it. That was very much at the time when we felt that people were sort of saying, if you have too many eggs, you're in a lot of trouble. You know, eggs, and so for my dad to take what I believe was already a weaponized foodstuff and to deep fry it felt crazy to me. So I never dabbled in. And also the other problem is that's not the sort of thing you want to discover you've got a taste for.
Sure.
You know, because what you don't want is start craving that something that unhealthy. You know, pears, fruit, you know, plums, peaches, that's kind of thing you want to develop an addiction for. Deep fried boiled eggs, I think if that is something you've got a taste for, it's better off left undiscovered, really. It would be my take on it.
That's what I'm like with deep fried Mars bars. I remember them coming in for the first time when I was a kid and hearing about them, and then being, you know, I think Newsround did a report on them, and being quite excited about it. But then even at that age thinking, I must never eat one of these.
I
will want them all the time, I can't try them.
And the problem for me is with deep fried Mars bars is that because I'm so inherently greedy, when people go, oh, that sounds disgusting, I just think that doesn't sound disgusting.
No,
that sounds wonderful. Mars yeah. bar and batter, and yeah. it's hot. And yes. you could possibly have it with ice cream. What the fuck are you talking about?
yeah, yeah.
How does that sound disgusting? yeah. We've been on tour with Kevin Bridges, and he used to get pizza crunch a lot. You know,
what's
pizza
that?
Crunch?
No.
It's battered and deep fried pizza.
Right.
When you say quite a lot, how often was he getting pizza crunch?
Well, like, we did
Papa Ranganathan levels of the.
Well, we did.
How frequently had the eggs?
We did 2 weeks in Glasgow. He played like 2 weeks consecutively in Glasgow. And I would say, well, look, I don't want to cast aspersions on Kev's diet. He's a very healthy guy. But I would say over 50% of the time he's picking up pizza crunch.
Pizza crunch.
By the way, listen, I want to give this some context.
Yeah.
It was like we did go out after the shows and have a few. It wasn't like, yeah. this wasn't brunch.
Sure.
You know, this was a late night poor decision thing. You know,
yeah,
I don't want to suggest that Kev would in the morning say to himself, I've had about 11 o'clock, I think I might tuck into some pizza crunch. This is like
sure.
1 a.m. We've accepted that the day's gone away from us. You know, that kind of, that's when you have pizza crunch.
Also, I imagine that when he's in Glasgow, Kevin Bridges he's got a reputation to uphold, right? And all the Glaswegians going to be like, oh, I see what's happened. You think you're too good for it. He's got to be eating pizza crunch all the time to keep his cred up.
I guess, yeah, part of it is you have to have, I guess I'd imagine you have to have some sort of pizza crunch on your person at some point at all times.
yeah.
So that if you're in a situation where you have to kind of demonstrate your authenticity,
yeah.
you just go, well, I'm just going to tuck into this, guys, if you don't mind.
That's why if you see Kevin Bridges' shows, like DVDs and stuff, you can just see a grease patch on his inside pocket because he's just always got a slice in there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just to whip it out.
Just in case he gets heckled, you've forgotten who you are, Kev.
Have I? Because what's in this pocket? Yes, but before I pull it out my pocket, guess. Yes, it is a pizza crunch. Bad luck.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before on the show. Once when I was very unhealthy, when I was at university, I had 3 pizzas in one day once.
Oh, no, you've not mentioned that on the show or off the show.
It was a very big day for me. So we had I had a duck pizza at Bella Pasta for lunch.
The duck. I mean, duck pizza in itself is fairly indulgent, isn't it?
Yeah, it was gross. I just wanted any way of getting like the worst food into my body. It was duck, but instead of tomato base, it was hoisin sauce.
Oh my god!
and most people would go. And after I had that, I didn't have pizza again for a week.
No,
twice more that same day to have pizza.
We had a show. I was doing a student sketch comedy show that night, and before the show, we went out, and I got pizza.
Pheasant pizza this time?
Just from a takeaway. It's probably pepperoni with extra cheese. And then also, I remember this distinctly, but they had a thing running at the takeaway where they spun a wheel and you could win something. And I won a free garlic bread, so I had that as well. And then we went out and got pissed that night, and then about 2 a.m, I ate a doner kebab pizza.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, my God.
And only halfway through it, I was like, oh, this is my third pizza of the day.
Only halfway, you realise.
Yeah.
And I won that free garlic bread on the skinny way. One of the best things that's ever happened to me was me and two friends went to Pizza Express and ordered our pizza.
And one of the best things that's ever happened.
Yeah, it was amazing. And we all ordered our pizza. So one of our friends was a vegan, and his pizza just never arrived. And so they gave, but me and my other mate, our pizzas arrived. So we got all of our pizzas for free, and he still didn't get his pizza. Was the best part of it. So we left, and me and my mate, me and Ishkumar, got a free pizza each, and our other friend had no pizza and nothing to show for it. It's hilarious.
That friend was Ramesh Ranganathan.
Yes, it was. I loved it.
Just to see two people that you've eaten with, just enjoy their pizza because it had arrived promptly. finish it in front of you while you wait for your food, and then be told that their food is free as a result of having suffered absolutely zero inconvenience. In fact, I would argue that their experience had been added to by being able to watch me as I eat their food, not have my food.
Yeah, it was amazing. And it was the best person for it to happen to. It just immediately angry, didn't hide it at all, really furious. Best person to be there with as well and have Nish there, who doesn't hide his glee whatsoever. Ah, great day.
And then just to fucking walk through the street with it.
It was, I loved it when the waitress came back to the table and went, we're so, so sorry. that your pizza hasn't arrived. The meal is on us.
What meal?
Look at his
what
face.
Meal? What meal are you referring to?
We always start with still or sparkling water.
I will go sparkling, please.
Sparkling water.
And the reason for that, I like the luxury of it. I actually have a Diet Coke addiction.
Yep.
That I apparently is a problem. I didn't think it was a problem. It's got zero calories in and stuff. But sure. Are you aware of this? That there's a.
I don't think it's a problem. I mean, I found nothing but positives from drinking Diet Coke. For me, it tastes like normal Coke anyway.
As far as I know, unless we discover something else, sparkling water, you can have that as much as you like, right? There's no.
Well, weirdly, I think there is something about it putting weight on sparkling water.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm being serious. I don't know the exact science behind it, but it's something. It's like the bubbles do something to trap calories or something. I don't know.
The bubbles do something to trap calories.
I'm not saying I'm an expert on this, but I've heard rumours that sparkling water might be bad as well.
Okay, well that is.
Well, the only thing I've heard is that it's bad for your, you know, enamel on your teeth.
That is something I'm worried about.
I don't give a shit.
No. Okay.
But now, you say it's a luxury, but now you're glugging it all day long. Is it not?
No,
it's not a luxury anymore.
I don't glug it all day long, but I will tuck into it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have it all day, but when I do have it, it's a guilt-free pleasure.
You properly is the bottle vertical? You got your head thrown back.
Sometimes I do that.
You shout cowabunga before you drink it.
Okay, I'm trying to think of a time when I have shouted cowabunga because I don't want to answer dishonestly. Yep. It's possible, certainly feasible.
Yeah,
it's certainly not outside the realms of possibility.
We're not ruling it out.
I just saw this morning, actually, possibly because I may have been talking about sparkling water and my phone was listening to me, an advert for alcoholic sparkling water. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I saw the adverts.
Hard seltzer.
Never heard of this. Never heard of this.
I don't know how I feel about it, really. I'm not sure if I'm in favour.
I think I'd drink it too quickly. I'd glug it down.
Yeah, that is the problem, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a similar problem with the Long Island iced tea. I don't know if you've ever dabbled in that cocktail.
No.
But that is eminently gluggable.
Yeah,
I can't believe I said those words out loud.
Love it. Eminently gluggable.
That was the original name of this podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome to Eminently Gluggable.
What's in a Long Island iced tea? Remind me.
I don't know.
What?
I really don't know. Hold on, let me look it up. Here we go. Vodka, gin, tequila,
jeez,
rum,
what?
Triple sec and lime. I mean, I think I might have accidentally looked up some sort of fucking underground recipe there. I mean, that sounds like a really depraved version of the drink that I love.
That's vicious.
Yeah. Yeah. Drink it out of a jug or something. That doesn't sound very safe.
I have that problem with that, is that you can knock it back. And I had a really weird experience with Lisa doesn't really like me telling this story, but I will tell it to you. We went away for a night, and the hotel that we're at had a cocktail bar. And Lisa, have you either of you met Lisa?
Yes, once, but
right, don't think I have.
She's very, very sort of quite chilled out, quite relaxed character. We went to this cocktail bar, and we started knocking back cocktails. And something about Long Island iced tea just turned her super aggressive, and she just sort of started being really kind of horrible to me in a way that she clearly found funny.
Yeah.
You know, she was like, she'd be like, you know, I'd say something, she'd go, oh, shut up, you boring old cunt. You know, just sort of, and then there was this sort of other couple sitting alongside from us. And then I'd say she was getting pissed. I go, should we go up to the room? She'd go, oh, stop being so boring. Let's have another drink. And then she'd get the other couple involved. She'd go, isn't he being boring? What a boring prick. Isn't he boring? And then they go, yeah, he is being really boring. Why don't you just have a drink with your wife, you boring prick? And then they all sort of sat there kind of roasting me for a while. And then Lisa vanished to the toilet and didn't come back for an hour. And then the other girl said, shall I go find her? And I said, sure. And she'd fallen
after
unconscious.
An hour.
Yeah. I think maybe 40 minutes or something like that.
But you were sitting there for the 40 minutes. Just,
I'll be honest
just
with you,
nothing.
James. I was enjoying the break from my roast.
But I'd say maybe 10 minutes you could send someone in to look for her.
Anyway, so we the next morning, she woke up completely hangover free.
Infuriating.
And, and completely forgotten about what had happened. And I, I chose not to remind her because I just thought she's had a nice, you know, she's had a nice time. I don't want to start, you know, dragging up the the sour events of the previous evening. And then about 2 weeks later, we're driving past the hotel. I said, we should go back there one night to have a night there. And she goes, I'm not after what happened last time. So I said, so you do fucking remember. all this time, I had assumed that had slipped your mind, but it hadn't.
It's popping up to a bread.
Well, look, I thank you for your question, James. I think I'd go bread, but it, the reason I'd go bread is because I prefer poppadoms.
What?
It's, yeah. I know. The reason I say this is because I really love poppadoms. And actually, when we're on tour, pre-apocalypse, one of the things that we were doing was we're going to a curry house pretty much every night.
Poppadom brunch.
And I love... It's weird, isn't it? It's weird to take something that's already been deep fried and then to batter it and deep fry it again. Something only my dad would do. No, I just think that you always overindulge and it ruins the meal. It's like whenever we arrive at an Indian, I'm always like starving. And then I ask for, they always say, how many poppadoms do you want? And they're asking you that at absolute peak hunger.
Mm.
And so I'll always say, suggest two, possibly three per person.
Yeah.
And then you finish the poppadoms and you think we could just leave now. You know, there's no reason to stay here apart from we've ordered food and etiquette dictates that we can't just do a runner after the poppadoms. But I do think they should just have poppadom kiosks. You know, just like little shacks where you can just pick up poppadoms.
Yeah. How would you serve them though if they were like street food?
Places? I think you'd have the poppadoms broken into pieces and served into a poppadom that's been formed into a cone.
Oh,
you can get conical poppadoms, can't you?
Yep.
So I think it's just a conical one with the kind of bits in the.
And then how would you? And then you put the sauces on yourself into the cone like a big crunchy ice cream.
Do you know what? I'll be honest with you. As I described the conical thing, I knew that would be the follow up question. I've got nothing for you there. I haven't thought that far into it. I guess you'd have like bottles of, and you squeeze it on like a raspberry ripple.
Yeah.
Nice. I guess.
You want different like sauce ratios with each bite, don't you? When I'm having a poppadom and stuff, like I don't really just have like all the sauces together or just one sauce. I like to vary it up.
What do you go for first on the chutneys?
I'd probably go for mango chutney first because it was my first love of all the dips. It's the first one I liked.
I'm steering clear of mango chutney broadly.
Yeah. Why is that?
Too sweet for me. The thing is, you know, I don't want to. I mean, I've left it a while, but I'm type 1 diabetic. Ramesh, bring that up. So if I'm having a curry, it's a big undertaking anyway. If I'm having rice and bread, it's a lot of insulin to do. So I'm not going to pile on mango. I'm not going to have jam as my starter.
Mate, do you know what's so funny? So that if you eat mango chutney and think of jam, it's incredible how similar that is. It's insane. It is absolutely insane as a product, mango chutney.
Yeah, it's jam. You're having some jam.
It's jam.
I once saw Ed Byrne do a routine about mince pies just tasting like mango chutney in a sock or something. And now every time I have mango chutney, I think about mince pies. Mm. And it makes me feel all Christmassy.
That is a weird reverse engineering of a journey to a Christmas thought, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's just like, that'd be my advice if you're ever going to see Ed Byrne.
Yeah.
Take each of his routines. They're all very negative, but flip them around in your own life and make positives out of them. But to answer your question, Ramesh, I would start with that, but then essentially, as soon as I get going on the lime pickle, I'm there for quite a while.
I love a lime pickle. The only... I had an issue... I think it's lime pickle, or it might have been Jalfrezi, but I was at dinner with Susie Ruffle at an Indian restaurant after a tour date, and then I went to the toilet and came back to sit down and basically had the experience of what I believed... it felt like a rapid-onset STI, but actually what it was is that I hadn't washed my hands properly before going for a piss. And I transferred, I believe it was either lime pickle or possibly Jalfrezi, onto my penis.
Yeah.
And then had to say to Susie, just hold your anecdote there a minute, Susie. I'm going to go back to the toilet. And I've just been. There's no other way of explaining this apart from the fact I think I might have curry on my dick.
It's the curry / general chili on the penis is the worst feeling.
It is the worst,
You feel like such an idiot as well. You feel like such an idiot. Like, my dick's burning and it's all my fault.
Yeah. And then you sort of think, Jesus Christ, there's so much. That is upsetting that I was handling food and now those molecules have made their way to my penis. It's,
yeah. Well, handling it and then, oh, I see, yeah.
Mm.
I thought you were stirring the curry with your dick.
No, I mean, you can do that. You can do that. But
then you definitely have no one else to blame but yourself.
Well, I think if the food had arrived and I'd stirred it with my dick and then gone to the toilet and come back and gone, Susie, you're never going to fucking believe what's happened.
She'd know.
Got a burning sensation because I think I've got curry on my dick. And she'd say, well, surely, Romesh, surely you'd have assumed that was likely to happen.
Yeah.
Bear in mind that I've just watched you stir the curry with your penis.
Yeah. Also,
I can't believe you're surprised by that.
She's not going to be there anymore. If I witness someone take their penis out, stir their curry with it, and then go to the toilet, I'm straight out of that restaurant.
Hold on, would you just leave, even if they were a good friend?
Yeah.
I'd tweet about it first. I'd get you cancelled.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Romesh has whipped his dick out and stirred. Yeah. I mean, everyone in the restaurant scene, you're in trouble.
Would I be cancelled, just to know what the tipping point is on this, would I be cancelled for getting the dick out of the Indian restaurant, or would it be when I started stirring that you think it's cancelled, Tom?
Well, I think you could quietly get your dick out in an Indian restaurant and maybe people wouldn't notice. But if you then stood up with your dick out and plopped it into the balti pot, I think people might be...
Yeah. Might, I think the fact that you're there... The fact that you're there with a woman as well, doesn't, you know, who's not your, you're not in a relationship with Susie, and you just stand up and...
Oh, so you're saying, James, if Romesh stirred a curry with his dick and his wife was there, people would be okay with it?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Depends if Lisa was drunk or not. If she wasn't drunk, I think she'd accept it. If she was drunk, she'd go, look at this prick. Look at this cunt. Get his stirring a curry with his penis.
Manky old dick stirring this fucking curry. Put that... No one wants to see that, mate. Put it away.
Right, but bread, though, yeah? You're going with bread.
Yes, chef, bread, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good stuff. What kind of bread?
Something plain. I just something that I can nibble on without getting addicted to and then ruin my appetite, I guess.
This is a running theme. You're very concerned about getting addicted to food, addicted to drink.
I've got an addictive personality, and I don't have much willpower.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to kind of put in other barriers to me eating too much, which are kind of eat flavourless stuff, and hopefully you won't have too much of it.
Right. Well, we're
so far I'm having sparkling water as a treat.
Yeah.
And some plain bread.
To stop yourself from having the thing that you prefer, which is poppadoms.
In the dream restaurant. So
yeah,
really,
this is, thank
really,
you, Jeannie. Thank you, Jeannie, for making all my wishes come true.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What is your starter, Romesh?
So my starter is actually a main course that that I'm turning into a starter for the purposes of this meal. And that is vegan chicken and waffles. Now, I had this recently in New York just before lockdown. And it's as it sounds, you know, it's like fake chicken on top of these waffles with the syrup all over it. And I've always been fascinated by that dish as kind of the ultimate in sort of anti-veganism. So when I saw a vegan equivalent of it, I was intrigued. But the problem with all of these fake meat things and all of these simulation things is they've only got, I reckon they've got about 7 mouthfuls maximum before they get found out. You know, and that was the problem with this dish, is for the first, I'd say, quarter of it, I was like, this is fucking great. Like, it tastes just like chicken and waffles, and it's amazing, and it's really delicious. And then I would say about halfway through, three quarters of the way through, I started to think, it's quite synthetic, this. It's very chemically. I don't think I'm enjoying this anymore. And by the end of it, I never wanted to eat it again. But the first portion fucking great. I think if I had like enough of it for the illusion not to be undermined, you know, just that kind of portion, it's
it's a starter portion. And we obviously, this is the dream restaurant. We've got a genie on staff. So we can make sure that the last bite you take of it is the bite before it tips over.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Because honestly, genuinely, the first part of that was fucking magical, man.
Yeah.
Like it was so delicious. And I've never eaten something that has taken me from paradise to sort of horror over such a short amount of time. I never wanted to see the restaurant again. I even felt kind of slight anger towards the waiter just because I felt so sort of funny having eaten all of it.
Do you remember what restaurant it was?
It was called Urban Vegan Kitchen, which I, you know, as names go, doesn't get much more pretentious, does it?
I'm very really, Ed, I don't know about you in that moment, but I was thinking, oh, I hope it's not Champs.
Yeah,
I hope he's not about to say he'd ever wanted to go to Champs again, because Champs do chicken and waffles and it's all vegan, and it's very delicious. And
is it?
Really good.
Yeah.
This is the one thing that my non-vegan mates have a go at me about, is eating meat substitutes is something that my friends... I don't know if you can call them my friends, the way they question my lifestyle choices, but they're constantly going on about why would you get a meat simulation?
But I never see that. I always think that that's the sort of desperate argument of a guilty meat eater who's trying to pick a logical hole in something that you're doing because they feel bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that stuff, I was at a wedding once and there's two people were vegans, just very nice people, not making a big deal out of it whatsoever. And one guy on the table who had a massive problem with it and wouldn't leave it alone and kept throwing scenarios at them that they would never end up in. I thought, well, okay, well, let's say this then. Let's say you're trapped in a house, right? It's like, it's proper, like, you can't get out the house. You're going to be there for days. All they've got in the freezer at this point, they just got, like, meat and chips, and that's all they've got. Are you just going to eat the chips all the time? Surely you're going to delve into the meat somewhere. You're going to do it. And they're like, yeah, probably. In the event of an apocalypse, you know, I'm trapped in a house. Yeah, I will probably eat the meat that's in the freezer. He's there leaning back in his chair like,
the aha moment that they have, that they fucking undermine your whole thing. So, okay, so there's a gun to your son's head.
Yeah.
And they say to you, you have to eat this lamb chop, otherwise the kid gets it. Would you eat the lamb chop? Yeah, I would. Okay, so you're not fully committed to it. You're not fully vegan, then, are you? Because if you've got a choice, there are circumstances in which you would eat meat. So there you go. There you go. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know? So you'll be vegan when it suits you.
Yeah. Fucking amazing. As if you're meant to go, yeah, shoot my son, I'm not eating that lamb chop. So. Well, fair play to him. Sticks to his guns, that one.
That argument, though, of saying, like, well, why do you eat meat substitute if... Well, the whole it's a meat substitute. That would suggest that anyone eating meat is going, I really love this because it's an animal.
I know. It's a convenience thing, though, isn't it? Because I went vegan, like, maybe 7 years ago, and it has got so much better in the UK for vegans since then. It's a convenience thing, because, you know, when you're the fact that you can go to pretty much anywhere and there will be some sort of vegan option just makes life so much easier. Because I remember when I first started, somebody would go, do you want to go in here to grab something to eat? And I think, oh, fucking hell, they're definitely not going to have something. And I have to ask if they can do something special. And then they're going to bring out a boiled carrot and I'm going to have to be grateful because they've gone to the trouble of doing it. Or they'll say something like, the chef's never faced a challenge like this before. Let's see what he comes up with or whatever. And you just don't have that anymore. So, you know, going into KFC, I'm not saying that I desperately want to have the KFC vegan burger, but... it's just the fact that if your mates decide to go to KFC, there's something for you to order. Do you know what I mean? I think that's part of it. Although I did have a weird thing, because there's this place called Doomies that I went to in LA, and they have it's vegan junk food, right? And it looks like it looks like a pure kind of diner menu or whatever, bacon double cheeseburger and all of this stuff, but all of it's vegan. And they had, I asked what the recommendation was. I said that the hot wings are amazing. And they brought this basket of wings over and they'd driven a wooden peg. It was fake meat, but there's a wooden peg in there for you to kind of nibble around it.
Yeah.
For me, I'll be honest with you, that's a simulation taken too far.
Sure.
You know, I don't need the skeleton.
Sure.
I know there's some bits that, there's some bits that if you can cut that out of the equation, then why don't you? Like, it's like saying we've invented a vegan meat that screams when you cut into it.
And it can reproduce. And it's alive.
Yeah.
It's an animal.
Yeah.
It's a chicken. We've invented a chicken.
Ed and I and the Great Benito, when we were in LA, we went to a vegan place. What was it called, Ed? It was the Grateful Place.
Cafe Gratitude.
Cafe
Gratitude. Oh, yeah, I've been there.
It was the most LA experience we've ever had. James, tell Ramesh why it was the most LA experience we've ever had.
Whole bunch of reasons. What is that it was vegan? What is that we had to order our food by saying, I am grateful, I am majestic, whatever it was. But the biggest one, probably this is the ultimate vegan, this is like the most vegan experience I've had, never mind LA, is that we're sitting in a vegan restaurant in LA and we look round and Moby's there. This is Moby sitting on a table. And we're like, I can't believe it. He's actually here. He's in a vegan restaurant. We're just staring at him.
I went to Cafe Gratitude with somebody who sat down and said to the waitress, just so you know, I'm not fucking ordering it like that. Just give me that.
Which is, of course, how we all feel.
Yeah.
We're from the UK. Of course, that's how we feel.
Yeah.
It was fun, though. I went in thinking, I don't want to order it like that. And then we had the nicest waiter ever, just super nice guy. And so I was like, I can't say to him I'm not doing it. And as soon as I said, I am powerful, and he went, you are powerful. I was like, this feels great.
Yeah.
Did it feel good?
Oh, it felt great. I loved it. I thought, because actually, I'd say it's probably even better for British people, because not only do you get to experience a rare feeling of saying something positive about yourself out loud, but also, because you're British, you think it's pretty funny.
Yeah, so, I think you have to do it with a certain amount of irony and like you're taking the piss by joining in. So I was doing I am black coffee. I was just ordering everything like that.
Yeah. Your main course, Ramesh.
So my main course is it's my mum's cooking, basically. I would like a sort of a small... No, actually, fuck it. It's my dream. It's my dream meal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Slightly larger than small portion of white rice.
Uh-huh.
I'd like a soya curry that my mum does. An aubergine curry.
Oh, yeah.
Some yellow dal, and a little side of masala dosa would be my main course. It would be my kind of main course. It'd be actually my main course.
So, is this a meal? Did your mum always serve these things together?
No, she doesn't, because my mum combines being a feeder with constantly complaining about my physical shape. So she would never serve me those things at the same time. She does this thing where, I'm saying it like she does it without my wanting her to. She delivers these Sri Lankan, I describe them as Sri Lankan care packages to the house, where she will... she'll make a big batch of curry and then deliver it. Normally, I think when she knows that Lisa has gone to a lot of effort cooking that day, and then she'll sort of knock on the door and say, "Oh, hi guys, I brought some just in case you don't want this." That obviously Lisa's been slaving away over. I've got you something. I'm not going to say you're going to prefer it, Ramesh. But you might like it as an alternative. You know, she does a lot of that. But when she does bring that food over, she's very much like, you should only have a small amount at a time, okay? Don't have too much because honestly, darling, you're so close to looking almost good. Because I've lost a bit of weight recently. My mum's become obsessed with me getting a six-pack. Wow. And she...
I don't want to be mean to your mum. That's pretty fucking weird.
Yeah. Most people's mums,
I really want my child to get a six pack.
Yeah, she's what's weird. And every time she talks about it, she's sort of slightly rubbing her tits, so she says it makes it creepier. she has genuinely become obsessed with me getting a six pack. I think she thinks, I don't know, she hasn't really explained why, And she says to me, I really think you should try and get yourself a six pack.
But is this since you've lost weight? She said that.
I think she was taking it step by step. So the first thing was try not to look disgusting anymore. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, moved to getting a six pack. And I said to her, I just said, it's not going to happen. It's absolutely not going to. I was very clear on that. It's not going to happen. And she says, well, why not? Why not? Well, so first of all, I don't want it. I don't want a six pack. You know, it's not, it's so difficult for people who've got the genetic advantages, who've got the willpower, who've got the youth on there. It's so difficult for them to get a six pack. And I don't even particularly want it. I think it would look freakish.
The thing that scares me about that sort of thing is if you work that hard to get it, and then your whole life is trying to maintain it.
Oh, mate.
What an awful life. It's like getting a Ferrari and then just desperately trying not to get a scratch on it. Terrible.
Know. So much of your life is based on trying to keep that going. So, but she told me, she genuinely said to me, every time I speak to her, by the way, she mentions a six pack. I'm yet to have a conversation during lockdown where she hasn't mentioned the six pack, right? So she said to me, I said to her, Mum, it just can't. I'm not going to get a six pack. She goes, yeah, but you know what you should do? You should have turmeric every day. That can help. I said, Mum, I think if turmeric gave you a six pack, I reckon I would have already heard about it. I find it almost impossible to believe that news would have been delivered to me by you.
I love that she wants you to get a six pack, but she's still dropping off massive packages of her cooking. Yeah. It's like proper, it's a test. It's a test. Yeah. She's just going, well, I'm going to leave this here, but I'll be very disappointed if you eat it.
Yeah. And she delivers it in such big containers that she sort of asked me to buy smaller containers in advance so I can decant, because there's no way that you would be able to tackle that amount of food in one go, you know? So currently she did a drop off a couple of days ago. Our freezer's full of little containers with my mum's handwriting on, from the one who really loves you. No, she doesn't write that. She just sort of, you know, dal for Romy. Soya for Romy.
Has she done like a drawing of you with a six pack on every container?
Yeah. just stuck pictures of Peter Andre on all of them.
It's such a weird thing to be obsessed about, but she really is convinced.
What would you say out of all the dishes you named that your mum makes for this particular meal is the star? What's the one that is like you dream
about? I think the aubergine curry is absolutely knockout. I grew up eating it. As soon as I went vegetarian, my mum started making it for me all the time. But in order to make it, it's very unhealthy because she deep fries a theme in our house, as I'm sure you're aware of.
But no lessons learned whatsoever.
She deep fries the aubergine. I think in a technique she learned watching my dad cook eggs. she deep fries the aubergine before she makes it into a curry, and then kind of dries the oil out of it or whatever. But it tastes so incredible. Mm. It is so delicious.
Also, aubergine's just like a big oil sponge, right? That's why it tastes so good, because it just sucks up every bit of fat.
I think essentially, what I'm telling you is I enjoy spicy oil and salt. I think that is what I'm enjoying about it. And also the other thing is, like, when you have aubergine that hasn't been done well, it tastes so horrific, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So the fact that she can make aubergine taste so magical, I find pretty impressive. But I'm only allowed to have it every now and again. So, for example, she dropped off aubergine recently, but that was that's probably the second time in about 6 months I've been allowed to have aubergine curry, because obviously six packs on the way.
I do like that you say since you've been allowed to have it, which completely negates any option of you making it yourself. You're like, there's only one person who can bring me aubergine curry, and it's my mum. So
she's not allowed to cook.
Well, my mum, first of all, I'm not allowed to cook, but also my mum revealed
a lot of things she's not allowed to do. This girl.
Yeah, my mum recently revealed to me that when she gives the recipes for her curries to other people, she deliberately omits ingredients because she doesn't want anyone to make it as nicely as her.
Wow.
And then what she does is she gives them the recipe, they make it, and then they phone her and say something like, thanks for the recipe, Shanti. It doesn't quite taste the way that you made it. And she goes, I don't know, maybe it's some sort of magic in my hand.
Fucking hell.
I take it she omits like a small ingredient, like a spice or something. She doesn't just like leave the aubergine out.
No, I think that would be, you know, like, Shanti, it's weird. We just got kind of soup. I'm not sure what to do with it. But in answer to your question, Ed, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. And this is something that my mum and I have talked about, is that my mum wants to teach me how to make all of these dishes. The problem is they take a long time, and nobody else in my house likes them. So Lisa doesn't really like Sri Lankan food that much. The kids are not that into it. So, Lisa gets annoyed. I say annoyed. Annoyed is a bit strong. She gets irritated by me desecrating the kitchen for the sake of something that she can eat, let alone something she's got no intention of eating. So
your family sound mad. Are they had Sri Lankan food's like, I'd say, one. I'm struggling to think of a cuisine that is better than Sri Lankan. Like, it's so good. Are they? What is their problem?
I don't know. The kids are sort of averse to spicy stuff anyway at the moment.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll get beyond that. Lisa just, she's just not into it. The truth is, James, now that you've said that, I'm starting to think maybe it's just she's got a problem with my mum. Because she does eat Indian food. Yeah. When we get Indian takeaway, she'll tuck into that. So it's not like she's got a problem with spicy food. Yeah. I think it's... What is it? Yeah, I think she
Anyone who likes Indian food has to like... Like, Sri Lankan food, maybe it's because all the Sri Lankan food I've had has been at quite nice places. But, like, it's always seemed like just a more exciting version of the countries that I've had in the past.
Lisa likes Indian food, but then specifically hates the food of the country where your family are from, right?
I guess she sort of looks at Indian food and thinks it doesn't undermine my position as wife and mother in the house in the same way that Sri Lankan food has done.
Yeah, when your mum shows up.
When my mum knocks on the door and goes, just in case you're starving because this bitch can't cook.
Is your side dish for your dream meal also, is it to complement this main meal of Sri Lankan food?
It's not something that my mum cooks, although I'm sure if she heard this, she'd be absolutely furious with me for suggesting that she couldn't make it. But it's a side dish called Gobi 65. Are you aware of this?
No.
Are you aware of this thing? It's a South Indian thing. And it's cauliflower. It's sort of spiced cauliflower. And it tastes absolutely amazing. I've got no idea why it's called Gobi 65. If you told me that the reason it's called Gobi 65 is there were 64 previous iterations of it and this is the most delicious one they came up with, I would believe you, because it tastes absolutely magical. It's unbelievable. And they have managed to make cauliflower taste like a treat. It just tastes absolutely amazing. And the thing is, with vegan food, the words that you have associated with vegan food are kind of fresh, crunchy, healthy, and all this shit. Gobi 65 is not healthy. Do you know what I mean? You can feel it sort of coating your insides as you eat it. I love it. I absolutely love it. I could eat... It's one of those foods that I could eat by the bucket load.
Where are you getting Gobi 65 from? Because obviously I want that real bad now.
If you go to any South Indian... restaurant. The best place to go to get Gobi 65 is if you've been to one of those South Indian restaurants where it looks like they just put up picnic tables in the restaurant. It's sort of the furniture is absolutely fucking shocking, and you have to take your own alcohol with you. It's worth it for their Gobi 65. Their Gobi 65 will almost always be exceptional. It's so great, man.
I love it's the fact so it's called Gobi 65. I don't know why it's making me laugh so much every time you say it.
I've never looked up why it's called Gobi 65.
I'm going to Google it now.
Okay, because
I do want to know quite a lot.
Could it be that there's 65 different spices in it? That seems mad, doesn't it?
It feels weird, like in the same way that they might call it KFC 11.
Yeah.
So someone says here, it is a symbol of machoism to be able to eat the most chilies. An enterprising hotelier capitalised on this and cooked up the dish Chicken 65, denoting that 65 chilies were used for every kilogram of chicken. Some chefs believe it is called so because of the 65 ingredients used in making it. So actually, opinions differ here.
It doesn't taste like... it's not very hot. It's not challenging to eat.
It's deep fried, right?
Yeah,
perfect.
It is deep fried. Yeah.
I'm on the Wikipedia for it. I imagine this is the first bit of traffic it's got in a while. I don't think many people are going on the Gobi 65 Wikipedia.
Like aubergine, cauliflower is one of those things that just takes on flavour and fat so nicely.
Yes,
I love
absolutely.
A cauliflower dish.
I've got to be honest with you. Having done this podcast now, I'm starting to think I'm less of the culinary genius that I thought I was. It turns out that I just like spicy deep fried things. I don't have quite the discerning palate that I suspected before I did this podcast. I came on here thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to share some of my insights. And you just like salt, heat, and oil.
One account claims that the dish emerged as a simple meal solution for Indian soldiers in 1965.
Oh, here we go.
It's also claimed to relate to a requirement for the meat to be from a 65-year-old chicken.
Oh.
What?
Sorry, 65-day-old.
Yeah.
All right.
This fucking geriatric chicken.
Most disgusting.
This is the stringiest thing I have ever eaten.
We had to keep it alive for 65 years. Oh. It was really hard.
That's what Alzheimer's really adds to the flavour of the chicken.
Atrophy just makes it delicious.
Others claim that it means 65 pieces of chicken. I mean, that's the most unoriginal one.
Not.
No imagination, those people. I think it's because there's 65 pieces in there. Is there? Did you just eat 60? Think about it. Did you just eat 65 pieces of chicken? Yes,
does that
no?
mean, does that mean as soon as you've eaten one piece, we have to change the name of the dish?
you just have to keep adding one back in every time you eat it.
Yeah, bad luck.
Yeah.
It's not going to be 65 unless there's 65 pieces. Now, we come to your favourite drink. We've been talking a lot about drinks earlier in the show, your Diet Coke addiction, cocktails that you like.
This is a bit out there, what I'm about to suggest for my drink, all right? That's all I'm saying, all right?
Oh, great.
Okay? And ordinarily...
Deep-fried Diet Coke.
Have you watched Deep Fry Masters?
Yep.
Yes.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course we have.
Fucking hell.
Of course we've watched that.
It's literally the show that is most up our street. Like, as soon as that appeared on Netflix, we were watching that and texting each other whilst we were watching.
Have you guys? So deep fried lemonade.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on?
So what I can make out there is that they've got some sort of like cake, or like spongy cake that they inject lemonade into until it's absolutely just like saturated beyond belief with lemonade. Right. Yeah. And then they deep fry that. And then when you eat that, it just tastes like, so the cake is like secondary. Everything's just like, it just tastes
and
like
so, and so is lemonade flooding your mouth then?
I think so. I think you bite into it and you get the crispiness of the outside. And then just a burst of lemonade.
Do you know what I love about that show is they describe the people that have like come up with those dishes like they cured cancer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Derek is responsible for possibly the best-selling deep-fried lemonade in the whole of the South.
Yeah, look. Well, they put to Butch Benavides, one of the judges, Butch Benavides, who... like came up with loads of stuff, mostly just putting deep fried stuff on sticks.
Deep fried cheesecake. That's
They talk about him like he's Tesla.
it's so funny because also the things that they judge the food on, you know, is some people say, you know, is it the balance of flavors and stuff like that? They go, can you eat this while you're walking?
That's
one of the biggest criteria.
And what they mean is, can you eat it on the way to the next snack shack?
Yeah. I'm walking down the Midway.
Can you hold five of them at the same time?
Yeah.
Anyway, my drink is raspberry tango ice blast.
Brilliant. Amazing. Absolutely incredible.
Now...
I can already feel Twitter lighting up as we speak. All the listeners getting on there. You fucking what? That's your dream drink, is it?
Raspberry
Tango Ice Blast as well. How specific that is.
I can't believe you've picked a drink that you can probably only get from a cinema.
That's what makes it so fucking amazing, though. And you can't even get it from my cinema anymore. They've changed to, what's it called? Icy.
Right.
No, I already feel like I'm kind of in your corner on this one, to be fair.
Okay. So
explain your reasons why, but I think I get this.
I just think it's just unadulterated joy, that drink. I like all icy drinks, but Raspberry Tango Ice Blast is the best one I've ever had. It's, have you had it, by the way?
Yes.
I've never had
it. So obviously it's pure sugar.
Yep.
It's blue. So already that's 50% of the battle won for me. Because blue food is so rare.
Yeah.
I think when you do get it, it feels special.
Sure. Yeah.
Every time you take a sip of that drink, and I stand by this, and I don't give a fuck what your people tweeting in are going to say about this. Every time you drink it, you experience the joy of having tasted it for the first time. It is just delicious. It is so delicious that when my kids ask for a sip of it, I feel anger. It is so lovely. It is so delicious that I actually... the first time I tried it, I just thought, this is so good. I can't believe how good this is.
Where were you when you first?
I was at Crawley Cineworld.
Yeah.
Pardon?
What film?
I think it was. It might have been Box Trolls. I can't remember. But anyway, I tried this trick. I thought it was Box Trolls. By the way, what a fucking harrowing watch that was. There's a part in Box Trolls where there's a vice that comes down and looks like it crushes them all to death, right? And we watched that, and I just think that's too much peril for a kid's film.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we watched that, and my son turned to me almost like he wanted to cry, and he said, "Are they okay, Dad?" And I just said to him, "Yeah, yeah, of course they're okay," thinking, I hope this doesn't have a really fucking dark twist, and there's actually box troll chutney when they bring that vice back up.
I'd imagine it didn't soothe them that much that you were probably in the corner of the cinema in the fetal position from all the sugar with a very blue mouth.
Big blue beard. Tripping balls.
How often can you have this though? Like if it...
Well, the truth is I can't have it anymore because... Well, I could if I go to a cinema that has it, but I can't have it very frequently because Crawley have stopped doing it. I actually looked up buying a machine.
You're doing well, Ramesh, but you're not allowed to cook in your own house, so I doubt you're allowed a Tango Blast machine.
Well, I mean, I'm speaking to you now from the garage, and I've been told that if I wanted a Tango Ice Blast machine, I could have one in the garage.
That's sad, isn't it?
But it's too expensive. It's like $2,000 or something like that.
Right.
And like there's maintenance and stuff like that. I just don't want to make the call to the maintenance guys going, I've got a Tango Ice Blast machine that needs attention. I go, which cinema location is it? And I go, actually, it's in my garage. I don't want to have that conversation.
But that'd be such a great fact about you that people could bring up on a regular basis. Like, you know the comedian Ramesh Ranganathan? He's got his own Tango Ice Blast machine.
Yeah. Gets it serviced and everything.
Gets it serviced. He's got a go.
Slush Puppies versus Ice Blasts. Do you want to explain to the listeners why ice blasts are better?
I can't imagine I'd have to, but I will do.
Yeah.
The Tango Ice Blast has a sherbety quality to it that isn't present in the Slush Puppy.
Yes.
There's kind of a fizzy kind of tang to it that that Slush Puppies don't have. And don't get me wrong, Slush Puppies are great, but they're not as nice. They're nowhere near as nice, actually, as a Tango Ice Blast.
Slush Puppies, you got two sips and then all the colour's gone and you just got ice.
Well, actually, that is part of the issue with the Tango Ice Blast. And that's what I was going to ask you. Is it possible to have, in this dream scenario, have that Tango Ice Blast modified so that it doesn't, you don't get to a point where you've just kind of got ice chips in the bottom of the cup? Is that possible?
Yeah, we'll just add 10 times the syrup.
We'll just do it that every sip you have is that like that first sip.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can do that for you.
Imagine going to the cinema and requesting that because you don't want you just going, look, can you do me a favor? I want a Tango Ice Blast, but I like to have it with 10 times of syrup.
Yeah.
Could you make that happen?
They would say, how about this? How about you get your own machine and put it in your garage, you greedy bastard? Absolutely.
One of the things I find fucking infuriating is when you go into the cinema and they tell you that you can't have a Tango Ice Blast and the machine is clearly swirling the stuff around. And so you go, you've made it.
Yeah.
So what are you saying? The problem is what? Unlocking it? Getting into that machine? Where's that issue? That's because
your mum gets to the cinema before you do and tells them to not give you one because she wants you to get a big six-pack.
Yeah. When Ice Blasts first came in,
Yeah.
I had a job at Wixted Park in Kettering in the Oak Tree, which is a catering part of it. And I served ice blasts. I was one of the first people in the UK to man these ice blast machines.
Bet you're a bit starstruck now, Ramesh, aren't you?
A little bit. I've got to be honest with you. You've gone up in my estimation.
Yeah. And therefore, I was one of the first people who had to explain to customers why, when it was still going around, we couldn't serve it to them. Because there'd be a little red light next to it. And it was basically kind of starting the whole process again. It's basically starting with the syrup and everything and getting the ice. So it's not ready yet because...
Oh, I see.
Essentially, if we did it at that point, you would just get... I mean, you'd probably love it, but you'd just get syrup and no real ice in there or anything like that. It'd be pretty gunky.
Did at any point, did they consider sort of making a kind of ice blast shroud that you could kind of put over it when it was out of order, just because, I guess, kind of just to assuage people like me, who were just enraged by the idea that the ice blast appears to be so close.
I used to drink it so much. You would have loved this job, Ramesh. I was drinking it all the time, and I was...
It's good, right? Do you like it, James?
Yeah, I love ice blasts, and we had loads of different flavours back then as well, and I would mix the lime ice blast with... the Coke from the soft drink dispenser as well. I was mixing soft drinks and ice blasts together pretty regularly.
Fucking hell.
I was trying those different combinations, and I was trying different ones out with different soft drinks to find the best combinations.
James speaks about his job working the Tango ice blast machine with more joy and enthusiasm than I've ever seen him talk about stand-up comedy.
Yeah, well, it was... I mean... I can't argue that, can I? That's... Absolutely. Hey, you got me. Bang the rights. That's absolutely true. Try different combinations of stuff together. Any combinations of jokes I've tried on stage have only left me feeling hollow and empty and gone home. Well, and during lockdown, Wixted Park has basically like looks like it's going to have to close. And I've had a lot of people contact me saying, will you sign this petition and get involved in saving Wixted Park? And any of my other places I used to work at, I would have been like, sod off, don't give a shit. Wixted Park, I'm like, absolutely. Straight away.
Yeah. And is there a job going on the snacks? On the
snacks also. Does the Oak Tree need a hand? I will volunteer there.
I'm going to be interested to hear your dessert now, Ramesh, bearing in mind you're coming off the back of the sweetest drink available.
Yeah. You're already on a sugar high.
Mm. That's not going to stop me, guys.
Good. Good on you.
I do feel sorry for desserts just because they are great, but they always come when you're sort of least hungry. I'd love... either the opportunity to take like an half an hour walk, or if you were able to magic that feeling of having had that walk, that would help me enjoy the dessert.
Well, we can put a treadmill at your table.
It's kind of not what I asked for.
Yeah. But, well, I'm just trying to work out practical ways of doing this, you know?
Doesn't want to do the actual thing.
All right.
Well, how about, let's magic you a walk and give you a six pack. How's that? So you feel like you've had a walk and a six pack's emerged.
Well, now you're making me and my mum happy.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. No, but I do feel like I always get excited about desserts, particularly now as like more and more vegan ones have become available. And then by the time it comes round, I end up ordering it even if I don't want it, because I feel like, oh, well, they've done a vegan dessert, I should have it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, to cut a long story short, which the ship has sailed on that, I believe, I really love the vegan donuts from Crosstown Donuts. Now, I don't know if you tried these.
They're pretty phenomenal. That's one of the places where I would opt for the vegan choice, because it's just as good, if not better.
They are so delicious, man. You know, like they've got the... Because sometimes with donuts, the sweet filling plus the sweet dough is too much. But Crosstown Donuts, they do this thing where they'll put, like, rhubarb in the centre, and the tartness of the rhubarb cuts against the sweetness of the donut so beautifully. I absolutely love it. Oh god, they're so incredible.
I think Crosstown got me into donuts, because I don't think I was a massive donut guy before that, but Crosstown Donuts, I'm all over that. Absolutely love Crosstown. Really good.
Well, I think the problem with a lot of donuts is they just think more is more.
Yeah.
And so they add like shit on the top of it, and they make it like in this kind of monster confection. But actually, what you want is something where the flavors complement each other. And Crosstown absolutely nailed that. It's so good. I had an awful situation where I was doing a writer's day, and one of the people that were there had sort of heard that I think they were the ones that introduced me to Crosstown. Anyway, they turned up with a box full of Crosstown donuts, and they'd got like six vegan ones. And they said, "Ramesh, I've got you vegan donuts." And I was at that time hoping to get myself a six pack. I was trying to restrain myself from eating that kind of stuff. But because they'd gone to the trouble of doing it, I felt like I should eat these vegan donuts. So I ate quite a few of them.
Yeah.
I hate to point out to you, Ramesh, but you have ordered something else that's just another deep fried thing.
Oh, God. So, do you know what that pause was? It wasn't even... I genuinely felt bleak.
Yeah, I saw it in your eyes.
Yeah, I saw you go, because I knew you felt bad about that anyway when we were talking about the Gobi 65, but you've just ordered...
Yeah, but, you know, the one consolation I have from the whole experience, at least the tango, the ice block's not deep fried.
Yeah.
So I'm not a heathen.
It is the only time on this podcast... We've done a lot of episodes for this podcast now. It is the only time on this podcast where a guest... I've looked at a guest... And the look of their face literally says, "What have I done?" Like, never seen that before, but proper like, "What have I done?" and regret like it's real.
Because you came into this all like, "Oh, I can't wait to give some of my opinions on food and show off what a foodie I am." Deep fried chicken for starter. Deep fried cauliflower. Donut.
Do you know what makes it even more disgusting? The sort of connoisseur-y way I described the rhubarb going into the donut. Like I was some sort of fucking cordon bleu distinguished... No, it's just another deep-fried thing with sugar on, actually. Sorry to burst your bubble. What you're complimenting the food on is something to cut through all the sugar you've been stuffing your fat fucking face with.
Just talking like a character from the clubs.
I think you should do a thing where at the end of the podcast you go, "So do you still think you're a foodie?" Because there's absolutely
I think you are absolutely. You're my kind of foodie. I love all this stuff. That was delicious. Crosstown Donuts. I've actually not had a donut from Crosstown Donuts because, coming back to the things we've been saying quite a lot in this episode, I think I would love them too much, and so I don't want to... So with every donut chain I've done this, of like, I lived literally opposite a Donut Time.
Donut Time are good as well. Donut Time is so good.
And for like 3 years, I lived opposite a Donut Time, and I didn't go in there once because I was like, I can't. And then a week before we moved, I had one, and then I think I had about five in a week because I was like, "Oh my God, this is the best thing ever." Yeah. And then started taking anybody who visited me, if my family visited me, we'd go into town and get some Donut Time donuts. Crosstown Donuts. Now, if I have family visit, I take people to Crosstown Donuts because I know they're the best donuts that everyone talks about, and yet I still haven't had one. I don't know what they taste like. So I've taken family members there and watched them eat these donuts, but known that it's too dangerous.
Do they find it weird that you take them to a place that you're sort of recommending and then sit there and just watch them eat the donut?
Yeah, and then they're like, "You don't have one?" No, never have.
Nor would I. Nor enjoy. Would I.
Yeah, so enjoy that. Ramesh likes it, the deep fried master himself. The original deep fried master, Ramesh Ranganathan. Butch Benavides, we call it.
Oh my God, this is so fuck. Honestly, man, I'm not fucking about. It's.
I forgot that on top of everything. So, the only course of this whole menu that isn't deep fried is your drink. And during the drink course, you went on a complete tangent about the show Deep Fried Masters. So
before you chose your drink, you asked us to clarify what deep fried lemonade is.
Yeah. Before I choose my drink, what is deep fried lemonade?
Because I might want that.
Yeah, it's possible that I might need the drink to be deep fried.
If your answer is satisfactory to me, I will be choosing deep fried lemonade.
Yeah. First of all, some research. What is deep fried lemonade?
Oh, God, this can't go out.
But what flavour donut is it from Crosstown Donuts? You said vegan ones, but
there's there's one with like, I think it's raspberry and custard or something like that, but it's got raspberry in the middle of it, and it's. It's been deep fried. Fucking kill me.
Oh, I love it. Right. Well, I'm gonna read your order back to you.
Oh
now.
God!
Just to see how you feel about it. Here we go. Sparkling water. Now, how do you want that cooked?
It's amazing, isn't it? I want sparkling water so that I don't indulge myself with a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
For the rest of the meal, I'm fucking having a...
Let's not forget, you wanted poppadoms, but you turned them down because you knew you'd have too many of them.
Yeah, but you wanted the fried poppadoms, but instead you went for plain bread. Started out with good intentions. Starter, vegan chicken and waffles from an urban vegan kitchen in New York, but only up to the bite where it still tastes good. Main course, mum's cooking, white rice, soya curry, aubergine curry, yellow dal, masala dosa. Side, Gobi 65, because that's how many times it's deep fried. drink, raspberry tango ice.
That's when it turns for me. That's when it took a turn.
That's when you realise. And dessert, vegan crosstown donuts, brackets the one with the raspberry and the custard in it.
It's so funny how arrogantly I was criticising my dad for deep frying boiled eggs. Like I was better than him. I am him.
It looks like the deep fried apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Amazing. I mean, I think that is a good menu, though. Or deep frying aside, that does sound absolutely delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, I got no problem with any of that rubbish.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, this is bad. Yeah. Oh, fucking hell.
Ramesh, okay. Thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant. You've been marvellous.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me. It's certainly going to leave me with some questions to ask myself when I leave.
That's what we like. Well, there we are. The deep fried special of Off Menu with Ramesh Ranganathan.
Whoa, there was a theme and a half to that.
It's not often we send a guest away and I fear we have done actual psychological damage, but that's the vibe I got at the end of that recording.
Yep, I think Ramesh is going to be reassessing his entire life and how he lives it from now on. That was pretty worrying.
Yep. Well, and he didn't say dried limes, though. Of course he didn't.
No.
He probably said deep fried limes at some point.
Yeah, nearly. Nearly tried to... That was on the cards.
And we just realised, haven't we, James, that this is episode 65...
Yeah.
Gobi 65.
That's very exciting. All the 65 talk, we didn't even know what episode this was going
to
be.
So that's why. Can someone go on the Gobi 65 Wikipedia page and edit it to say that people think it might be called Gobi 65 because it was spoken about on episode 65 of Off Menu by Ramesh Ranganathan?
Yes.
So, like I say, this is series 4. Very exciting to be back. We've not been away that long, to be fair. But spread the word, tell people about it. Why not tweet us? Follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Off Menu Official on both of those.
Do not tweet us and ask, hey, is there a list of those restaurants? What restaurant did they mention in that episode? You don't need to do that. Just go on the website, offmenu.org. And on that website is a whole list of restaurants. The Great Benito has taken a long time to write that list. So they're all there with links and everything.
Lovely guess at the website there, James. It's offmenupodcast.co.uk.
Yes.
Also, why not leave us a review on iTunes? Give us 5 stars. You can write a few sentences about why you like it, but mainly the stars is what counts. Oh. But just go on there, sling us 5 stars. Will you do that for me, James? Will you give us 5 stars?
I'll do it, Ed. I'll go on there. Anything to help up my buddy's podcast.
Thanks, mate. Well, looking forward to the rest of the series. We've got some absolutely brilliant episodes coming up. But for now, keep on munching.
Keep on munching, keep on lunching, keep on crunching.
Ever wondered about the world's greatest mysteries? Who built the pyramids? Where is Bigfoot?
I'm over here.
Is time travel possible? Mark, from invisibility to whether aliens are living amongst us. It's Microscope, the improvised comedy show from the award-winning John Kearns and me, Matt Ewins, an all-round nice guy.
Where's it available?
I'll tell ya! iTunes, Spotify, Acast, and all the other places you get podcasts from. It's Microscope!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.